Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
So we have to be the men that stand up and teach our kids about God.
it's mandated. It's a charge that God has given us to do, because we have to be able. We are the ones that, you know, start generations and carry, you know, their names being carried. You know, some people are juniors, thirds, you know, and it goes down the line. And what you want to be able to do is start that cycle of teaching your young men through the Word of God how to be men, and not just men, just men of God. You know, so it's important for even us right now, the ones that on the line that do not have kids just yet. We have to obtain these things so that, yeah, we're going to be able to show our son how to play basketball, but let's show our son how to get his soul saved. These other things are going to come along. These other things, the ride a bike, the fishing and the working on the cars, these things are going to come with life. But let's get his soul saved first. And so that's my take. This is a you know, interactive show. You can comment and have your add-ons anytime you want. But Anthony, you got something to say about that?
Definitely like the way you put that, you know. Definitely once you get your spirit and your heart right with God, everything else will fall into place. Because once you want his team, you know, you know, turning back. I remember Saturday we were talking about it, and me, you, and Brandon, and we were like, God is the best drug you can ever have, he said. We was like, it's a gateway drug. Once you get hooked, you never get off of it.
Yeah.
So once you're on God's team, you know, and it has sense. It's like you stuck. You're always with him. He'll always be there for you, and once you make that life-changing decision, that's it. Only takes one time. And I definitely think that was a great analogy that we came up with yesterday.
Shout out to Brandon.
Any other comments on that? Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job. It's important. Excuse me, I got a little bit of a sinus thing going on. But it's important to put that perspective, and I like how you put that perspective, Minister Jamal, when you said, you know, all those other things, fishing, working on a car, you know, all those are good. But once you make that commitment to pass down, you know, how to get saved, that's the ultimate thing. So what good is it? So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Mm.
And so with that perspective, It's so wise to put the world and everything in perspective with God. So I think you guys are on it. A lot of times people, you know, come into this world and don't have a father. So we're blessed that we have fathers that love us, that care for us, and that want to show us the ways of God. And we have to continue that. No matter what age you are, we have to continue that, whether it's our biological son, or whether it's someone around us that needs a father in God, be a man of God.
Amen. That was definitely a great add-on. Definitely a great insight. Any more comments before we move on? Yeah, I mean, and you know, about the age thing, man, you know, I definitely agree with that. You know, it's just certain things that, you know, that the young men have to know. And you know, once you know Christ, you know what I'm saying, now you got a spiritual father and you got a physical father. So it's, yeah, you know, it's getting the best of both. You understand? So it's like, okay, this is what my spiritual father is teaching me. Then my physical father is teaching me this. Now, how can I use that spiritual knowledge to intertwine with this physical knowledge and make it work? That's the beauty of it. It all works for the greater good. You know, this wisdom and knowledge that God has for us is so powerful and is so life changing that we have to do all that we can do to get to it.
Amen.
We got to do everything. I'm thinking of Reverend Grimes. He preached a sermon one day, and he had it on CD. I was a young man. I was a younger man. And what he was talking about was the power of Jesus, and he was talking about how Lazarus, they thought he was already dead, and back in those times, when you passed away, they wrapped your body up in what they consider grave clothes, and they wrapped your body up like actual mummies. And so you saw the bondage that he was in. And when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," what did he do? He came forth. Now, understanding the great challenges and the great barriers that he was in, because he was from head to toe, he wrapped up. But what he said was, and he decided, said, "Jesus is calling my name," and see, that's where we have to get as the men. See, we hook on the latest J's, the latest cars and clothes, and we're spending all of this and spending all. But see, we get so wrapped up that we can't hear Jesus calling. See, we got to be able to want this knowledge. We got to be able to want it. And have it.
Yeah.
Some people have built their lives, let's so to speak, as the people that, you know, society called dorks. They don't have the finest shoes or the clothes or anything, but they grow up to make multi-million. See, they heard the call. It didn't matter about what was going on around them. He said, "Jesus," Lazarus said, "Jesus is calling my name. I gotta get there." So that's the type of yearning that we need to have to be able to obtain this knowledge. And once we obtain this knowledge and we obtain this wisdom, sky's the limit. God's going to take you places that you never thought. God's going to take you places with the people that thought they were wise. What he's going to do is going to qualify, and what he's going to do, and I want to use qualify, but I want to use justify. Yeah, that man ain't doing all. He's not, you know, he does things that are still not pleasing in my sight, but I have justified them. So we have to be able to take that and run with that. That we are victorious at the end of the day, no matter what the situation looks like, what it sounds like, because it's appealing to our physical five senses. That's how the enemy wins. So we have to be able to obtain this knowledge and this great wisdom that God has to offer, because it's soul saving, life changing. So.
Yeah.
No more comments. We're gonna continue. And you got something to say over there, man? I hear you.
Good morning, fellas. No. Oh, good morning. Hello. Got some more callers on the line. Anybody?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe.
How what's up, man?
Hey.
So we will continue on Proverbs 13, verse 2. Verse 2 says, "From the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence." I definitely, in times in our lives, we have to understand that situations can be calmed down by just the things that we say out of our mouths. Mm-hmm. And when we have this great wisdom and knowledge that God has for us, we start to see that, okay, this situation, how is it going to look? How would God handle this situation? How would this glorify God? Even though we have them people sometimes that know how to push our buttons, that know how to just say whatever to tick us off, to make us mad. From the fruit of the lips, people enjoy good things. So we understand that and understand that, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. They don't feel satisfied. They won't feel like their day is complete, their mission is done until violence or chaos is occurred. So we have to be able to learn the ways of God, get away from them type of people. And when I mean get away from them, get away from them physically, still pray for them, still pray that God works on them, still pray wisdom and knowledge on their lives. But you have to get away from those people in order for God to be able to use you. Just like cups. If it's a clean cup in the midst of the dirty cup, that clean cup is going to get missed over and not be used because it's in a pile full of dirty cups. I'm not going to use a dirty cup. So we have to stand aside and be able and be ready to be used, because as that cup, if that cup was in the batch with the clean cups, it would have been used to be a cup of water. Now it's being used.
Right.
So we got to separate ourselves from the dirty cups, and we got to separate ourselves from the things that we don't want to get mixed up in. So that's my comment. Any comments on that? Any add-ons? Any type of?
I can, Joey. I can, as far as the, you enjoy the fruit of your lips, I take it as he's basically saying that as long as you speak stuff to an existence and keep your faith, then you will have it. Like your prayers will be answered. But when you worry about it or doubt God, then that's when you miss out on a lot of blessings. So as far as enjoying the fruits of your lips, you can speak a lot of things to existence because words have power. But if you lose faith then, or don't keep the faith, then you miss that blessing. And as far as the dirty cup metaphor, I can agree to an extent, but sometimes like I can agree if you're not strong-minded enough to not let them affect your mind, but sometimes you got to be out there with the dirty people, because if nobody else is, then how are we going to reach them? You know what I'm saying? Jesus had a lot of dirty people around him as he was walking around sharing his word. So I understand what you're saying as far as cast away the hand, but sometimes you got to be out there with the dirty people just to show them that you don't look down on them, because that's why a lot of youth don't come to the church now, because we try to stride away or try to push them off to a far. But if ain't nobody out reaching, like the Jehovah's Witness knocking on doors, like we should be doing, then we're not really doing our job. We're not evangelizing. So you got to touch some of them dirty people. But I definitely understand. Like I had to let a lot of people go in my life. They was only ruining my soul and not uplifting it. And if they don't want to change for themselves, then you got to let them people go. But if there's people out here that need help and you can see it, at least try first. And if not, then, yeah, you got to remove yourself from that situation.
Amen. Any more comment?
Definitely. I agree with what all you guys are saying. My one comment regarding the cup analogy that you guys have been talking about right now is, sometimes when that does happen, I think us, even as men or as in that certain situation, we just got to learn to be okay with it. Sometimes we want to hold on to those people. Sometimes, you know, you want to keep that, which you have going, you want to be comfortable. But sometimes in order to grow, you got to let some people go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
Amen.
My take on that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you guys. You guys are definitely on it. The words you say, you know, like Joey was saying, you know, you got to have a faith and just don't speak your words. Speak the word of God. So no matter where you're at, if you speak the word of God is powerful all by itself.
Mm.
And so if we hide God's word in our hearts, and speak the word of God, whatever situation, whatever place you're in, you know, you have that faith to stand on the word of God, you know, and if people are not tracking with you, you know, encourage them, pray for them, but sometimes they come around at a later time. you know, just say, hey, you know, I'm gonna turn that over to God, but I gotta go this way right now. You know, pray that you get here, but you know, I'm not gonna talk bad about you. I'm not gonna judge you, but I'm gonna keep my head in the game. You know, stay focused, and then when you come around, hey, we're gonna pick back up and we're gonna make it even stronger.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I can't say that's what cured a lot of my depression, is remove myself from a negative situation and negative people around me. Because you don't understand how much somebody else's problems can take a toll on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely removing yourself from a lot of situations can help a lot. But I feel like some people get like left, like you're saying, just left out in the open because so many people try not to get dirty by leaving all the bad, per se, bad folks out, forgetting that we all do certain type of things. But some people, no person is not savable, as I recall. Like, everybody can be saved, but if you're not strong-minded enough or strong enough to maintain that around that person, then yes, I definitely agree you have to let that person go.
Amen. And then, you know,
well, I it's just a question that popped up in my head that when is enough enough? That's just a question that I would like to, you know, everybody had a feedback on. When is enough enough? When are you gonna? Because I believe and I believe that spiritual growth is a personal thing. It's a
uh-huh.
more so on its own. It's an independent thing. And when is enough enough? When will the one be able to say, well, you know what? I did all I can do here. Because I believe that wrap yourself up in this one person so much that you'll miss your opportunity. And once your opportunity is missed, I've been in a situation where somebody said, you should have known better. So my question is, when is enough enough?
I would say, me, myself, if they keep making the same mistakes, so you keep preaching or pointing to the same person and they keep doing the same things, then that's when you realize it is. But if you love someone that deeply and if you really care for them, then I would never, it's not enough until you see a change, and unless it start really affecting you and your life and your own relationship with God. But I don't like giving up on people per se, because some people have given up on me in my life. But sometimes it can be very detrimental to your own self. Like, I had friends that I had to, you know, like crash, total 3 cars, getting drunk driving it. And instead of me keep preaching to them, like, I just let them do them. Like, you're going to be grown, you're going to learn the hard way. But some people, if you love a person that deeply enough, I don't ever think enough will be enough. Like, as far as your child, like, I don't think any man or any good parent would give up on their child as far as praying for them and being there for them as long as they had that genuine love for them. So I would say it depends on how much you love that certain person.
Yeah, I think you guys are right on track. Bible says 7 times 70, you know, and, you know, it's just the thing of you can love people from a distance. A lot of times people got to grow up and find out for themselves. But you can't change anybody. The only thing that's going to change somebody is the word of God, and God can change them. And so you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with, like, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, this is what God said. And if, you know, you want to come, you know, that's a blessing. If not, I pray you get there. And when you love them like that, then let them know you're not judging them. Let them know that you're not giving up on them. But you got to do what God has called you to do. And, you know, if they're not doing what God has called them to do, you can't let that stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And then once they see you staying on your grind, you know, staying in the game, then hopefully that example will give them some encouragement to get back into the game or find God, God's purpose for their lives. And it's just a thing. You got to feel it. You got to feel you know, spiritually, okay, I'm going to do what this says. You know, I know this guy is doing this. I know this girl is doing this. I know this girl is doing that. You know, until they see the light of God, they're going to keep doing that. But
yeah.
I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to push on and give God the glory. And sometimes they, you know, they're going to call you names. They're going to judge you. But, you know, only man can judge you is God, and you judge yourself. You know, let God be your guide. And prayerfully, you know, before it's everlasting too late, they'll come to know God and come to know God's purpose and plan for their life.
Yep. I say prayer probably worked the most in that situation. Just pray for the person. If anything, pray for discernment and ask God to let yourself know when it's enough is enough. Because that's what I've been asking recently, and I've realized enough has been enough for certain people. Man. You can't deal with hard heads with people that don't want to change. They got to want it for themselves to change. If not, then
yeah.
You know, it's futile.
Amen. And that's what I wanted to get to, because you could, and the reason that we hold on is because the relationship that we have with the person. See, we have to, you know, if we be real, it's not like that we're going to meet somebody in the street tomorrow and we're going to be on their case like we would be to a friend, to a loved one. You know, and most of the time, them type of people, because of the relationship that we have with them, they're the most toxic. And we have to be able to say that at any cost, will you drop everything and follow Jesus?
Yeah.
You drop everything, not just what you feel like you should drop. Things that is not even bad, but when you drop it and follow him, that's where, you know, I think a lot of you know, relationships get lost. A lot of controversy is happening because I can't give you what you need. You know, I can't give you, you know, because at a certain time it's person dependent on the person. It's not even depending on the God in the person. And that's all it is, that we have to understand that every time that a breakthrough happens, every time that situations become easier and the storm cease, know that it's not the person. But it's God that is being used. It's the person that's being used through God.
So that we
have to be able to bite off the chunks and take some home. See, this good soul food. So you can take some of this home because you full of what he gave you, and it's not the McDonald's that's just running through you. Oh, it's gonna be all right, man. You know, the Bible says, now let you take that some of that home. And eat some for yourself. So you can't comment on somebody else's experience. So sometimes we have to be able to lead enough to let the song that's been sung many years, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go. Because see, darkness and light ain't gonna dwell in the same place. So when the light comes in, whatever is dark gonna have to either get out, or it's going to have to conform to what's going on. So that's sometimes I struggle with that. You know, I had a partner, you know, he's a good man, even right now. You know, but sometimes we dwindle off because everybody, and this even with your mother and your father, everybody ain't going where you going.
It can't go. It
and
can't
so you
go
have to
you.
be able to detach yourself instantly and get to God's business.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, like, because see, when we pray, when we get up off our knees, we expect whatever that we pray for to be done. We expect God to jump when we say, Father.
Mm-hmm.
See, but what he's doing, he's making us strong enough to say that at the end of the day, I'm gonna go straight to him.
Yeah,
I don't want no secondhand source. Because my experience And your experience, just like they say at the end of certain commercials, results may vary.
No, absolutely.
So we gotta be able to detach ourselves. And that's what I love, you know, when I do this mime. And my father says all the time, my father said, man, when you be about to dance, man, you don't need to talk to me. It's not personal.
All right, you get in you get in
it's
your
business.
Spirit. You in your spirit.
It's business. It's God's business. See, yeah. You gotta detach yourself because see what you could say to me could throw me off because I'm so attached.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm in my feelings, and then that soul doesn't get reached because I'm in my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell people I got a lot of things to explain to God, but one thing I don't want to explain is why this soul was still left in the balance.
Lord have mercy.
And see, it was in your radar. It was in your radar. Oh, because you love this person so much. You see, we men, so we got to be able to put on our big boy boots, get knocked down. All right, you know, but God is right there, and it's
all
no
right.
Greater test than doing it by yourself.
Okay, the walk alone builds the most character. I can tell you that when you walk alone, you build the most character, bro.
Amen. Amen.
And the longest walks lead to the best destinations.
Mm, come on now. I hear you over there.
Hey, I'm telling you because you're preaching right to me because I used to depend on my friends and stuff to relieve my depression and stress, only realizing not to realize that they were the ones that was causing most of it.
Mm.
I removed so many people from me because at a certain point, he wants you to rely on him, like you said, instead of relying on the worldly things or other people. Like, you have to go straight to the source. You have to go straight to the source to get that true healing.
Amen.
So I just, you know, God wants us to depend on him first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to this person because we got to get it off our chest. How about let's go somewhere that we can have a little talk with Jesus. And I, you know, I don't want to have that cliche, you know, saying, but I know in my time and in all of my situations, just that little talk. I didn't argue with this person over here because they judging me how the way I feel about a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask for that. I just, she got to talk to the one that ain't going to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta talk to the one that's not gonna make you feel like you're wrong for how you're feeling or your way of understanding.
What do you say for the people that don't know how to talk to God or say they don't know how to pray?
I believe that, and this is just my belief. I believe that, you know, if you call on his name, he'll make himself available.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if you call on him, because it's a songwriter out here right now. His name is Kurt Carr, and he's known in the gospel world. And one thing that he said to his mother and father didn't believe in God, but he said he still found his way to church. As like I said, you gotta at your first sight is your first taste. You gotta break for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you are lost in the grocery store, all the people are chattering, all the talking, all the noise, but you know your mama name. I mean, you know your mama call. And when she said, get here, boy, you walk into the get here, boy. Everybody talking, though, and they talking loud. There's carts being rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
But you know
this
call right here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you at. You know this call. You know this feel. You know this vibe. You know this spirit. You know it. So that's what I believe, that God will reveal himself to people one way or another. That's why your ear has always have to be tapped in. Your ear always have to be tapped in. if I'm correct, I remember in 1 Samuel, the moral of the story was that it was a young man that was laying in the bed, and he kept hearing his name being called,
mm-hmm.
and he would run out,
mm-hmm.
and he would say, yes, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And when he laid down again, he heard his name again, but he knew he heard his name, and he ran again. And the next time, said, when you lay down and they call your name again, say, speak. And that's when, you know, God revealed himself. So it's about the being again, not being with the dirty dishes. So you know that, okay, this is a cup that wants to be used. This is distinct. This right here is what I said it to be. God's going to reveal itself, and that's what I believe. And I believe that everybody will be able to have a chance to accept.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I believe.
My comment on that that right there. I know time is closing, but you know we got as long as we still on here, we good. But my thing is enjoy it. You know, you remember when I used to come up to Kia, and you remember Mr. Russell? So, like I told you, I was in school. He was my Bible teacher. And
mm-hmm.
and the thing was, one thing that we discussed while we were still there and it stuck with me was how at the end of days and the end of times that everybody's going to know who God was, and they're going to have the opportunity to eventually, you know, see who he is or have an idea of, you know, there's a higher power, he is deity, you know, all that great stuff. But it was like even people across the world that they can't be reached, but they see something. You know, it's they can look at nature, they can look at weather, you know, look at the stars, they look at different things. You know, it doesn't have to be an exact word, but when you see it, you should know. So like you all saying, at the end of the time, and at the end of the day, you know, they're going to have that option. I don't think that guy is unfair at all. So at the end of times, when it's ready for everybody to go, we call everybody up. Everybody's going to have an opportunity or have had the opportunity to, you know, accept for who he is. And that's my last comments right there.
And to piggyback off that, I would say that's my main argument for people like atheists or Muslims that debate with a lot. It's like they try to use verses from the Bible to confuse you, say it's confusing, but I say, bruh, I can't say nothing to you so you feel Jesus moving your life yourself. You know what I'm saying? I felt the power of God move. Like I've been there. Like I felt Jesus. I know Jesus for myself. So I can't tell you, no words can explain the feeling itself. So until you actually get that feeling, there's no more I can say to you. That's why our religion is more so based on faith instead of based on words and man.
Psalm 19:1, I'm going to let you guys go. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, just by looking around you, you can see that God exists. And the Bible says that any man come to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's it for me.
Amen. Great first word, man. Great real talk at the end. Shouts out to everybody, man, you know, on the line. We're going to wrap this up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Father God, thank you for this great, great dialogue. Father God, thank you for all of the men, Father God, on the line, Father God, that had great input, great insight. Father God, we ask you, Father God, to help us continue these great dialogues, Father God. Help us grow in you, Father God, so that when the weapons form, Father God, that we'll be able to fight back with the word, Father God, and the knowledge and the understanding, Father God. Be in our church services, Father God, wherever they may be, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all, till next week, man. This is the first word. We out.
8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
All right. I see y'all. I should have been on here a long time ago.
All right.